Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hi, everyone. Connor Newt alongside Nick Keiser and Nick Frazier, who are live at Bridgestone Arena in Jack Daniel's Barrel House, just outside Section 111. I am here at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Air Conditioning Game Studios. Gentlemen, how are we?
Hey, we're doing great.
I'm back here again. This is crazy. Yeah. We're doing great.
It's like you live there.
I know, right?
Yeah. Hey, what better place to be at, though, you know?
Yes. Preds and Carolina Hurricanes in action tonight. You guys will both be there. I, unfortunately, will not. I will be here at the studio producing that game. But what a great day. Great day to be on the air for the next 4 hours.
Yep. Absolutely.
Doing better than the Titans, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, we are. And that's the first thing I want to get into is the Tennessee Titans falling again to the Jacksonville Jaguars to move to 3-12. They fall, the Indianapolis Colts, not Jaguars. That's this week.
There you go.
There we go. Lights are bright out here. The Titans fall to the Colts 38-30 to move to 3-12 on the season. It looked grim from the start. Mason Rudolph had a rough game throwing three picks, but Brian Callahan sounds fairly positive that Mason Rudolph had a great performance. I'm not sure I can get behind that. I'm pretty sure you guys can't either, but
I don't know. I'd have to disagree with you a little bit. I mean, obviously Rudolph has, you know, done a lot better on the field besides, you know, with, you know, passing yards, that is. But obviously those three picks, you can kind of divvy out those. I think two of them were, what, tipped? And one was definitely thrown directly at somebody. So, I mean, that you just got to look at it with a grain of salt in some regard. But obviously, the quarterback situation is a big talking conversation for the Titans right now.
Absolutely. And looking at this quarterback draft class, I'm not sure it's going to get any better for them next season.
It's very true. Yeah, it's definitely a bleak look at the future for the Titans as well.
Very much so. Looking at the stats for Mason Rudolph, he went 23 of 34 for 252, two touchdowns, three interceptions, and took 10 sacks. That's more of a testament to the offensive line to me than it is Mason Rudolph. But there were some portions of the game yesterday where I looked at Mason Rudolph and I was like, what in the hell is he doing? Who is he looking at? The last play of the game, for example, he was looking at Chigakonkwo the entire way, similar to Will Levis. We've seen Will Levis do that a lot, too. But he did not take his eyes off Chigakonkwo. The Colts defense read that well and absolutely sealed the game.
They did, and I think that was more of Indy putting their stamp on things, but it was too long. I mean, they buried the Titans, then they gave it up at the very end, but really – that felt like loser points to me, guys. I don't know about you, but listening to some of what Robbie and Joe had to say this morning and then what Frazier had on double time with Big Joe this morning, it just really felt like the Titans were trying to come in and do too little too late. And that's unfortunate to see late in the season. Obviously, they've only won three games, but they're trying to have moral victories, and they can't even do that, which is really sad.
That's the thing with the Titans to me, though. I don't want to harp on moral victories.
No.
That I'm tired of the moral victories. Well, we'll get them next week, champ.
Right.
You guys got this. That's the toxic. We talk a lot about toxic positivity on this show. It is at its purest form when the Titans lose, it seems.
Yeah, and like I want to go back to this real quick, talking about the Colts. I mean, obviously the Titans did not win, but just they made the Colts look like a really good football team when they're obviously not. I mean, the thing is, I look at the Colts like an island of misfit toys, and I'm going to use a Christmas reference here for that because
it's that time.
It is that time. I mean, everybody probably already saw the Mo Alley Cox tweet or whatever it was,
the quote,
because, I mean, he heard, I guess, somebody on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans said
like,
it's going to be a long day.
We were theorizing who it would be, but, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point.
I mean, my money's on Tavondre Sweat, but if we're not placing bets on that.
He got poked in the eye. I don't think he's going to be.
Maybe RDT. I don't know. But the next thing I was going to get to real quick was the Colts quarterback, Anthony Richardson, warmed up with a rugby ball. Obviously, you guys know I'm a big rugby guy,
that.
But like, you can't really throw a rugby ball in a spiral because obviously it doesn't have your typical football grip I mean, it's just not what you're going to look for.
Isn't a rugby ball wider?
Yeah, it's more has that like egg shaped style.
So what you're saying is it bounces differently.
It does. The bounce.
Let's not get to how Rand's cooking, guys. Let's not go that way.
But like, if you just think about it, those two things for me, obviously, those are just have nothing to do with the game. But in reality of it all, you're going up against a team that doesn't really know what the heck's going on in there.
Looks like we lost Nick Kuser and Nick Frazier, but what he was getting at, I feel like, is that's not the proper way to warm up with a rugby ball. A football and a rugby ball are shaped differently, and obviously it's something to be concerned about if you're the Tennessee Titans. Your quarterback can't even throw a proper ball, but I digress. Where I want to go with this is I'm tired. I'll sound just like Jared on this show. It is Stillman and Company, after all. I am tired of the absolute toxic positivity that this franchise carries with them. Whenever they lose, it's, oh, we'll get them next time. Oh, it's going to be a great time for the Tennessee Titans. We have a bright future. We have a great guy running the show in Rand Carthon. We have a great coach. And maybe that's true. Maybe we'll see these things start to play out. But I kind of doubt it right now. I don't think that this franchise is headed in the direction that they put out. And I know I'm probably stating the obvious in that. But what has this staff given any of us that shows that they're headed in the right direction? Let's look at the draft classes. Rand Carthon last year brings in Peter Skoronski, and I am on this show, and I am taking the mic one, so I am so happy that I get to say this. You don't draft a guard at number 11 if it's not Quentin Nelson or an all-pro or a sure thing plug-in guy. Just not how it works. How many of these draft picks from last year are depth pieces that have played out? Tajay Spears, to me, only shows up in garbage time. I'm not sure that that's something that you're going to carry with you as your franchise back. Tony Pollard has been awesome this year. Tajay Spears has not, to an extent. Last year's draft class, I'm going to say, was awful. Awful. This year's draft class isn't much better. There are some hidden gems, I feel. J.C. Latham is going to be a solid tackle for this team. Jarvis Brownlee, who you got in the fifth round, looks like a gem at corner. The kind of guy that I would like to see run my secondary. He is overperformed. Absolutely overperformed. Tavondre Sweat has not been good, but he's not been awful. I share the sentiment with Jared that you don't draft a run-stuffing defensive lineman in the second round. You draft star players in at pick number 38. That's who you draft. It's just, I don't see a positive direction of this franchise right now. We can go back to last year's draft class, Will Levis. How could I miss Will Levis? Bring in a quarterback to be your franchise guy, or what you think is your franchise guy. Then goes out this year and leads the league in interceptions and turnovers. How many back-breaking, stupid plays has Will Levis made this year? We can count on more than two hands. It's just, I don't see a positive direction for this franchise. But what do you think? Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-9, I'm losing the phone number. Anyways, Dylan is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about that Colton Titan game. You know, I'm a Colts fan. We've been having a mediocre team ourselves for about 10 years. And we're going to get Anthony Richardson another year, but we don't have to be at our best to beat the Titans. You know what I'm saying? The Titan is the worst team in the NFL.
I don't disagree with you there. Yeah.
We pretty much letting Anthony Richardson practice with the Titans.
I agree with you, and I thank you for your call, Dylan. I agree with you. There were there were times where it looked like Anthony Richardson was out there just throwing backyard football. That dude is a monster athlete. I'm still not convinced he is the face of the franchise and just an absolute star in this league. But that dude's an athlete. And I see why Jared loves him so much, because he's got all the intangibles to be a great quarterback. He also has all the intangibles to be a bust. And I think you seeing him throw some of the throws he does, take off and run and lead with his head, kind of like a Will Levis does, you lose a lot. And I think that kind of taints my image of Anthony Richardson as kind of a guy that, you know, I wouldn't draft to be my franchise quarterback. But then again, I'm not Jim Irsay in the Indianapolis Colts. But I do want to get to something he just said. It doesn't take a lot for the Colts to beat the Titans. That seems like the case for a lot of teams. It doesn't take a lot for those teams to beat the Titans. And that's how dwindled and weak this team is. Look at the Detroit Lions. That team, we went into Detroit, and that team, from the first snap, had the Titans beat. It doesn't take a lot for these teams to beat the Titans, because the Titans are weak and soft. But I digress. We'll continue this conversation next on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville, tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders take on Tennessee in Knoxville. Tip-off is at 6 p.m. with the pregame beginning at 5:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and the TotallyHitsNashville.com. Welcome back. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Connor Newt taking the helm. And let me see, do I have Nick Frazier and Nick Kieser back with me?
I don't know. Do you?
Oh, yeah. There they are.
Hey, buddy.
We missed you. Hey, well, I was just, before you so rudely dropped on me, I was just talking about there's no positive direction for this Tennessee Titans franchise, it feels like. There's no way for the Titans to spin me as a fan around into thinking they are going in the right direction. We had a caller just now say it's so easy for teams to go in and beat the Titans because they don't have to give too much. To me, that's a testament of how soft this team is, how little they care about football, how little they care about the results they put on the field. I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but that's just how I stand. Maybe not. Anyways, as I was saying, this team, I don't think I've ever seen a team as soft as the Tennessee Titans. And we could go look at all the press conferences and all the answers they give and everything they give to us. But it's just not, there's no way that you can spin me into thinking the Tennessee Titans have a positive future. Right now they sit at, I believe, the third pick. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jake Wallman. Third pick.
Yeah, it's the third pick behind
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville and New England. New England's the first overall.
Whole tankathon thing.
Yeah.
But if they lose to the Jaguars, they'll take the number three pick, and I'm for it. I'm cheering for them to lose. As tough as that is for me to say as a diehard Titans fan and someone who's lived here for 20 years, I'm cheering for the Titans to lose because I think it betters the franchise. But there's just nothing other than that I can look forward to on a Sunday. I said it on Saturday. Unfortunately, the Titans have two games left. Unfortunately, I have to wake up and watch this team. It's just, I don't know. there's not a lot for me to get excited about. And how many young core pieces on this team can we look at and say, oh, that's the future. That's happening. That's a bona fide stud coming into this team. I don't know. Just not in the cards for me right now. Then again, all my sports right now are miserable. I mean, Tennessee Titans football. The St. Louis Cardinals are blowing things up, so that's miserable. Nashville Predators are on the come up right now, but still not where I would expect this team to be if you ask me. Where would they be on December 23rd if you ask me in June? July. July is when they signed Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea, that whole bunch. Just not a great time for Connor Newton in the sports world. Kentucky basketball is on the come up, although they did just drop to Ohio State. But I will gladly drop an Ohio State loss in December for a Tennessee Volunteers playoff loss. But that's a different conversation. They're still not with me, Jake Wallman. Nothing.
Are we not with you?
No, I'm not here. I mean, you're cutting in and out, but...
You can't hear me?
No, not really. But anyways, what... I mean, I'm interested to hear from the caller. 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on the future of the Tennessee Titans? And where does the blame start? Does it start with ownership? Amy Adams Strunk? Does it start with the front office and Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker and whatever the hell he does in his AI cancer-curing machine? Where does this blame... Does it start with Brian Callahan? Should Brian Callahan be on the hot seat? Not great play calling this year for him. Not a great staff, it looks like, other than Denard Wilson, who is a Ferrari in a trailer park as far as staff goes. Does it start with the players? You know, Jeffrey Simmons comes to mind. Everything is an excuse for him. There's always some kind of excuse. Never his fault. Who does it start with?
Connor, to answer your question, I feel like, you know, the old saying of, you know, blame is always placed on the ones at the top.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, you know, we've talked about, you know, is Callahan on the hot seat? Is, you know, Carthon on the hot seat for probably a good month and a half?
Sure.
So, I mean, I feel like with me, you know, if you get a GM, I think by year two, I think that's when you should really start to see results. And if you're not seeing results by year two, then I think that's when you got to really start looking at your options of, you know, do we need to bring other people in? I feel like with this team, I feel like Rand Carthon's a problem because you look to GM for direction and there just feels like there isn't one.
If you've been listening to the show for the better half of 2 years, I think Rand Carthon was the problem from the day he got hired. That's a Jared thing. That's not a me thing, but I am with Jared in that I think it begins and ends with Rand Carthon in this roster construction. I don't think he knows the people he's bringing in, what level of talent they have. I don't think he knows the kind of thing that makes a good football player and makes a good roster that can go out and win a Super Bowl. We could go to ownership because there are things about Amy Adams Strunk that I think affect this team too. I think she's more concerned with hiring people that are going to tell her yes than people that are going to actually tell her what's wrong. I think she's more concerned about hosting a Super Bowl than getting the team she owns to that Super Bowl. I think she's more concerned with filling a stadium rather than how good her team is actually going to be. Little does she know, if this team sucks in the year 2027, guess how many people are not going to that stadium? Pretty much all of Nashville. I'll go ahead and say that right now. All of Nashville will not care. Not all of Nashville. A good portion of Nashville, people like myself, people like Jared, people like, I'll throw Chase in there. We will not care about the Titans if they suck. Now, I'll still follow them and keep up, but I don't care to spend my time and my money at a stadium for a team that is probably going to get 30-pieced. That's just not something I care about. There are too many other things I'd rather be doing. You know, I'll throw this out there. I'm a college student. I am a junior at MTSU. There are things I would much rather be doing with my time than going to watch a team that sucks. I would love to go out and hit the Taco Bell or something. Go out and do stupid college stuff. And I hope Amy Adams realizes this, that it's not just the older audience that is, you know, focused on the future of this franchise. It's the younger audience too. It's people like myself. People like our friend Parker Kelly, friend of the show. Younger audience. This is the team I was born into. I've lived in Nashville for my entire life. I'm 20 years old. I've lived in Nashville, all 20 of them. I have been two-tone blue since birth. There are not many people on this planet that care more about the Tennessee Titans than I do. But even I'm starting to lose interest. Because it doesn't feel like there's anything they can do. It feels like the end. The apocalypse of the Tennessee Titans, we'll say. It feels like a downward spiral, a fall from grace. We go back to the 2019 team, even the 2021 team. It felt like, oh, we were so, so close to a Super Bowl. And then what happened? A fall from grace. But you look at those teams, and those teams had key pieces building towards their future. You had a young Jeffrey Simmons that was coming into his own, looked like a star out of Mississippi State, a guy that wasn't drafted, fell in the draft due to off-the-field issues, but fell to the Titans. Titans take a flyer, and he's turned out pretty good for him.
Young A.J. Brown.
I was just about to go there. A young A.J. Brown, a second-round pick out of Ole Miss that
was a steal.
Absolute steal.
What, like in the mid-30s, early 40s?
Yeah, absolute steal. All pro, written all over him. And you let him walk because you don't want to pay him. Now look at him. Philadelphia Eagle. Tearing it up. Part of that is he has a decent quarterback behind him. But you had a decent quarterback behind him here in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. Jared has said this before, and I'll echo this sentiment. The beginning of the end for the Titans as we know it was the playoff game here a couple years ago against Cincinnati. That third pick that absolutely sealed it. Just killed any momentum the Titans had in being a successful program. I'm losing hope, fellas. I'm losing hope. Maybe someone could call and give me hope. But it's just not in me right now. We'll continue this conversation up next. Zillman and Company, 1025, 106.3, The Game.
I got your message. I haven't celebrated Festivus in years. What is your interest?
Well, just tell me everything, huh?
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
There you go. Christmas Eve is tomorrow. Christmas Day is Wednesday. Today's Monday. That means it's Festivus, people. Should we begin with the airing of grievances or the feats of strength? I don't know. You tell me. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. We have a caller on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ezra is calling with a plan for the Titans. Ezra, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, so what I want to do is, at the level we're at, we have to get back to the level of mediocrity.
Sure.
So next year, what the Titans should do is go out, get a bridge quarterback, so Derek Carr, you know, if the best available option, if not, maybe Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, and then we obviously are going to be maybe, what, top three pick, get Shador or the guy from Miami, I forgot his name, and have the bridge quarterback cover until we get the new guy ready for the stadium, because we need to be at a level of just relevance and mediocrity, not slum or trash. So we can't enter a new stadium. So if we get a bridge quarterback like Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins, that'll hold us over until we get Shador or whoever going. That's our plan. I know we won't be able to use for O-line and defense, but that'll have to come after.
Sure.
We have more important issues right now. So I just want to know what you guys think about a bridge plan to set up a rookie.
Sure.
And to get us back to relevancy, because that's really the only route we can go. And we have the money to go get Derek Carr. We can get him maybe 20, 30. I know we can get Aaron Rodgers for 10. So yeah. We have the money. Does the Titans want to spend it?
It's a valid point, and I thank you for your call, Ezra. It's a valid point, but I know you said we have the money. I don't know if I want to give a franchise quarterback deal to a Kirk Cousins. I'm not sure I want to. I definitely don't want to give franchise money to Aaron Rodgers. That he's not the same Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you that right now. This isn't Aaron Rodgers from 2018 when he won the MVP. Or no, that was Lamar. What?
I believe that was Lamar.
Aaron won it in 2020. That's right.
But yeah, I'm all for a bridge guy. I think Derek Carr is probably one of your top two or three picks, because I don't think Sam Darnold is leaving Minnesota.
No, I think he's getting a Kirk Cousins type deal.
Yeah, because you think about it. What if what if they make JJ their guy next year, and JJ flops? Then they go back to Sam Darnold. So you've got Derek Carr, and you've got maybe two or three other guys out there that can come in and be a bridge guy.
Yeah, I think bridge is not out of the question, but we've talked about this before. Benching Will Levis may have been a bad decision. Just look at the results Mason Rudolph put up. You don't bench a guy for throwing interceptions and then put the next guy in and not bench him for doing the same thing. That's just not how this works. So I think I'm still in favor based on the only quarterback I think I would be willing to take from this draft is Shador Sanders. The only one. He's the only one that has somewhat of an it factor, perfect timing, as David James is doing it behind the glass, throwing his wrist up. That's the only quarterback from this draft I would be willing to take. So why not just run it back with Levis one more year? It's the cheapest option. You know what you have, I think, unless he just comes up and puts ungodly numbers up next season. But you know what you have. Use the money to improve your offensive line. You need a right tackle, first and foremost. I've never said right tackle on this show, and here we are. Right tackle. Feels good. You need a right tackle. You need someone to hit the quarterback, because we don't have that. Jeffrey Simmons clearly can't hit the quarterback when given the opportunity. And that begins and ends with Rand Carthon or whoever is up there in the general manager position picking and choosing who's on this team. Speaking of Rand Carthon, Trey has a comment on Rand Carthon. Trey, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today? How you doing today, buddy? So my opinion on Rand Carthon is that all I ever heard for the last 2 years is who he worked for, who he was associated with, and things like that. And I'm just saying, okay, so who has he recruited that has flourished in the league? And I'm just saying to myself, I haven't seen it. And I think that's part of the problem, is that he didn't have experience in recruiting and in free agency. And he was just thrown in there to the wolves. Now we have the product of that. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think that we're going to probably keep Mason and give him a veteran minimum. And I think we should look for somebody in the draft. And I don't know what they need to do about Rand Carthon, but it's not looking good. And what are your thoughts, buddy? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it. It's a valid point for sure. You do hear a lot about, Rand Carthon was in San Francisco. He's drafted Nick Bosa and, all Deebo Samuel, people like that. He's worked with them. But how much of that has he brought over to Nashville? So far, I would venture to say not a lot. Now, there was one thing you said that I don't agree with is Mason Rudolph giving Mason Rudolph a veteran's minimum. I think Mason Rudolph's gone. Why would he take a pay cut? He's here on a one-year, $3 million deal, around that. He's here for cheap. Veteran minimum is less than that. So I'm not sure Mason Rudolph would want to take a pay cut to be the number one guy here if he's not getting franchise quarterback money. But back to your thought about Rand Carthon hearing where he's been, I think you could say the same thing about Brian Callahan, to be honest with you. How many times have we heard Brian Callahan? He's an offensive guru who's worked with quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow and guys like that. He may have sat in the same room during the meetings, but there's a difference between sitting in the room during a quarterback meeting and calling plays. Brian Callahan hasn't called plays for an NFL team before. He was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati for Zach Taylor, but Zach Taylor calls his own plays. Brian Callahan, I think he's improved in play calling this season, but it's still not great. You're still seeing this conservative Fisher ball run it up the middle on third and eight. I don't know. I'll say that a lot. I don't know. Because I think the Titans don't know. I don't think they know. I think they know what direction they want to go, but I don't think they know how to get there. And you look at the people they have running the operation. Rand Carthon does not know how to bring in a solid foundation for this team. Brian Callahan does not know how to call plays at an NFL level, it seems. And this isn't me just pointing fingers. This is research that I've found. I was out there all summer with camp. Training camp, watching the plays, hearing the sunshine pumping, hearing, no disrespect to Charles Davis, but hearing Charles Davis say this is the best Titans team he's ever seen. Look at the results now. How has it gone? How many times have the Titans had a game won this season? At least three. But it feels like once that first score for the other team goes, it's over. The Titans don't know how to get out. And that's just something that the franchise needs to take a look at themselves and be like, how do we fix this? But that's my argument here. I don't think they know how. I don't think they know what they want to be. They say, they give all this talk about, oh, well, we want to compete for a Super Bowl. We want to bring a championship back to Broadway. Then do it. And make strides to bring in those guys. Easier said than done. I get it. I know. I have heard that for years and years and years. But bring in competent football minds. I'm not trying to call people stupid or anything, but I don't think Rand Carthon has a competent mind when it comes to building a roster. I don't think Amy Adams Strunk has a competent mind when it comes to football operations. There's a lot of issues. I'll tell you who else had a lot of issues. Let's go back to Saturday. The Tennessee Volunteers fall. Not just fall, get the absolute brakes blown off of them. By Ohio State. Ohio State's moving on to the Rose Bowl to take on number one Oregon. That should be a fun one. But I want to focus in on what went wrong for the Vols. That's up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Connor Newt with you. Jared out this week. Hope he is having a great holiday. The little one, watching some football, learning how horrible the Tennessee Titans are. But let's switch gears here. And before we do, I do have a bit of breaking news coming from the Vols basketball program. This is from Mike Wilson. Cam Carr has elected to leave the Tennessee basketball program. The sophomore guard's decision is effective immediately. K Cam played in 4 games this season before suffering a thumb injury. So a little bit of breaking news from the number one team in the nation.
That hurts.
Does hurt.
Yeah, because he was going to be really good.
That's a depth piece. That's a depth piece for sure. But I want to focus in on the football team. I know a lot of fans out here drove up to Columbus, 5-hour trip to watch a Orange takeover, it seems. And it was impressive. I won't lie. It looked about 40% Orange, which was what I expected. But I'm impressed. I am impressed with the dedication of the Vol Nation. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough. The fans may have showed up, but the team did not. The Vols lose 42-17. And Ohio State on to the next round to take on the Oregon Ducks. I want this to be a therapy session for the Vols. Full disclosure, I am a Kentucky fan. So I laugh at your pain. But it is what it is. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew on the line with us to talk Vols. Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Connor? I'm a UT student, longtime volunteer fan. Me and my dad, we made the trip up to Columbus. I can't say I regret going up there. But wow, that was bad. It was embarrassing.
I'm sure.
You know, us as SEC guys, we can come together. We both got our butts whooped.
Oh yeah.
By the Buckeyes on Saturday. The place erupted when they announced final score. Up in New York, Wildcats getting it's crazy. You want to talk Vols? Let's talk Wildcats. You know, losing, getting killed by an unranked Buckeye team. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Vols have a lot of problems though. You know, being up there, you see them practicing. You see all the ins and outs. You see the guys around campus,
mm-hmm.
And I just can't figure it out, man. I can't figure it out for the love of me. I think Nico's got the talent. But there's sometimes his decision making, he'll stare down his receivers. I mean, anyone in the building can tell where he's going with the ball, right?
Yeah.
Our offensive line was just nowhere to be found on Saturday. Defense looked like it, woke up an hour before the game started and were reminded when they woke up they had a game. I don't know. Let's hear what you got to say, but I want to hear about the Wildcats too. What do you think happened there?
Well, thank you for your call, Andrew, first of all. For starters, the Wildcats, I'm not going to say they're the – I genuinely didn't think they were the fourth best team in the nation. They're just not. They're too – they're an old team. Their coach is too new to the program. And they're going to have some duds. Unfortunately, it was against a pretty bad Ohio State basketball team, but they're going to have duds. I will say, when you're not having a good shooting night, odds are you're probably going to lose. That goes for every team. It's unfortunate that that's the way things played out. Excuse me. But I joked earlier in the show that I would take a random loss in December to Ohio State for a Vols playoff loss. So, but back to Vols football. I think you are right when you say Nico has something. I heard them earlier in the day, I think it was Frazier, saying that maybe this should be the last ride for Nico as a Vols quarterback. No, he's a redshirt freshman. He's a young gun. He's only going to develop more. But it doesn't help that he's losing pretty much all his wide receivers. A lot of them have entered the portal, it looks. There was a weird cryptic message yesterday from Squirrel White, it looked like, with a thinking emoji and a blank screen. Not sure what that means. But I think it's only up from here for the Vols. I'll be completely honest with you. I think you're going to have to make some internal decisions, however. Heupel, I think he's fine. Heupel, that's a coach. I would argue that's a top three coach in the SEC. Would you not, Jake Wallman?
Oh, definitely. I mean, considering where he came in and took this program over at, if you remember, you had that big press conference with Philip Fulmer,
yeah,
and Dondi Plowman, the chancellor. I remember watching Philip Fulmer go, recruiting is good. Recruiting is not great, but we got to, save some face. And just where he's taken this program in the last three seasons has been...
Yeah.
I mean, 30 wins in the last 3 years.
He took a bottom-of-the-barrel SEC team.
10 wins, or each of the past... They've made a bowl for the first time in the past three seasons for the first time since, like, the late 90s.
Full disclosure.
97, 98, 99,
full,
I believe.
Full honesty, I said he's a top three coach. I would honestly go Kirby 1, Sark 2, Heupel 3. I mean, it's a big conference. I understand that. But can you look at me in the eye and say Brian Kelly is a better coach than Josh Heupel? I don't think so. Shane Beamer, I don't think he's a better coach than Josh Heupel. Mark Stoops, absolutely not. We'll push that one out of the way. Lane Kiffin, not a better coach than Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel, I'll say he wins more with less, it seems. At least that was the start of his era.
One thing that I was thinking about, and I thought about it all night Saturday night, all day Sunday, and I was thinking about it on the way here. The first drive of the game, Tennessee got Ohio State into like a 3rd and 5, and then they get a face mask. And it prolongs Ohio State drive, and then Ohio State proceeds to go down and score. How big of a moment was that? Because if you can get Ohio State off the field there, I'm not saying Tennessee's in control of the game, but all of a sudden Ohio State fans are thinking, here we go. You know, back to the same old offense.
That first penalty was huge because it allowed for the first score of the game. I went into this game thinking this first quarter is pivotal to this matchup. Whoever comes out on top and sets the tone is probably going to win the football game. Now, I don't think you can look back at that one specific penalty and say, oh, that's the reason they lost. There were a lot of things that played into the Vols' loss. The secondary was not there. Jeremiah Smith's an absolute dog. Will Howard looked like a Heisman winner, which isn't it kind of funny that Carson Beck and Will Howard, two quarterbacks that have kind of struggled this year, looked their absolute best against Tennessee. Kind of funny to me. It is absolutely a thing. Dylan Sampson went down with injury. I think that plays a huge factor. But a lot of things played into the Vols' favor, played into Ohio State's favor, into winning that game. Now you regroup. How can you get better? And I think Josh Heupel has the answers to that question. I think we should continue this conversation because this is a good one. What went wrong for the Vols in Columbus? We'll continue that next on Stillman & Company 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But before we go, let me tell you that this week's Nashville's Best Deals is from the Academy in Goodlettsville. More than just a training space. Here, every class is a journey into the arts of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, taught by their dedicated instructors. They have a state-of-the-art facility that offers everything from muscle recovery service to the top-tier training equipment. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals and get $150 a month of unlimited classes for just $75.